Blessed? Amen. I want to give the Lord a praise. I was blessed this week. I had to go and have a root canal done, and I was expecting a lot of pain, and even through the hour and a half long procedure, I had a couple little ouchies, but nothing too major, and then I kind of expected to have a lot of pain after the numbness wore away, and I didn't have any. The only pain I had was where the needle went in for the numbing agent. And I just thank the Lord for that. And they didn't know when they went in if they were going to be able to salvage that tooth, and they were able to. So I thank the Lord for that. How many know you need your teeth? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, you are the great and mighty one, the maker of heaven and maker of earth. And we want to proclaim that to you this morning, Lord. We want to praise you this morning. Lord, we want to set everything aside and worship you this morning. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can gather here in your name, and there you are in the midst. Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would anoint me to preach this word that you've given me for your people, Lord, that we would leave here changed, different, closer to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that time of year. Seems like everyone and everywhere you look is talking about gardening. How many like gardening? I'm still amazed at how you could take a tiny little seed and plant it and water it in the dirt. And the plant comes up and it grows larger and larger and eventually produces a nice juicy red tomato. Where does that come from? Where does the material where does it come from? God gives it to us, doesn't He? It's made, you know. You're planting it in the dirt. Dirt and water and sunshine, and it creates. And look at all the things that God made for us to eat. All the different flavors and textures. I'm so thankful for that. Anyone else?
Yes.
Amen. Comes from God. In Genesis 1:11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. See, God gave it to us. It was His idea. It was by His design. Genius. Amen? Genius. I believe it's an absolute miracle. I really do. Something comes out of nothing. The Bible tells us that God provides for our sustenance in this very way. Isaiah chapter 55, 10 and 11 says this, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." I bet everyone here likes to eat. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Isn't that a great comparison? So shall my word be. Here God tells us something about His word. He compares it with the sowing of seeds. Jesus spoke more about this, and our main text this morning is found in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, known as the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils. My title this morning is, "What kind of soil are you?" No, I didn't call you a dirtball. You'll forgive me as we go on, I think. It says, "And he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things in parables and said to them this teaching." "Listen," he said. Means pay attention, right? "Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" That's important. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This was the beginning of Jesus' teaching by the use of parables. A parable means a comparison. It's putting two things side by side in order to compare them. Jesus used earthly events, everyday things that people were familiar with. They were familiar with what a farmer does. They were familiar with planting crops. He uses these everyday things to teach us heavenly truths. And it was written for them, it was spoken to them, and it's for us today. Amen? Praise God. Verse 3 says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." What was he doing? Sowing. He was a sower. And guess what? He went out to sow. Amen? He was doing his, fulfilling his calling and his purpose. I'm going to sow some seeds here this morning. Can I have the ushers? $1 trillion bills. Don't get excited. They're not real. They're gospel tracts. I want everyone to get two of these. Sow some seed here this morning. Give everyone two, please. If anyone wants more, you can have more. That is one of the easiest tracts in the world to give to someone because it's kind of a novelty, a $1 trillion bill. I've handed those out on the streets before and had people, strangers, coming up and getting in line. Give me one, give me one. Easy to give out. Now, every one of you are receiving two seeds. Those are seeds. That has the Word of God. It has a salvation message on it. I want everyone here to sow those two seeds this week. How many will do it? Come on. About 10. How many will do it? Come on. This week, sow those seeds. Give them to someone. Not to your husband or wife. That's cheating. Give them to someone. Someone you know, someone you don't know. Easiest track in the world to hand out. Easiest one. I'll give you a little hint. This is a great way to do it. When you go to Walmart or go to the drive-thru or go to somewhere where you've got to pay someone, say, "Hey, can you change a large bill?" And when they say yes, hand that to them. They love it. And they say, "You can keep that." And there's a gospel message on the back. Please read it. How many will do it? Say amen. 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 Praise God. So the sower went out to... That was weak. So the sower went out to sow. Very good. And you are now sowers, so what are you going to do? Sow. Amen. God heard you say that. So the sower went out to sow. He was doing what he was supposed to do. What happens when, thank you, what happens when farmers do not plant? No harvest. If you don't sow seed, you can't harvest. You don't reap. Somebody said it correctly. The spreading of the gospel is likened to just that in the Bible. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed?" Listen to that now. "Through whom you believed. As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." See, He uses us. That's His plan, is for each and every one of us to spread the gospel, but it's God who gives the increase. He's the one that does the work. You don't have to worry about doing the work. That's God's job. Amen? "So then neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase." Verse 8, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor." We need to be sowing seeds. Amen? We all have our part. As I read in verse 5, people come to Christ through our efforts that God uses. That's His way. That's the way He chose to do it, is to use His believers for us to take a part in that. The Bible says we are God's field. We are God's workmanship. "Now he who plants and he who waters are one." We're all in this together. Amen? Shout, shout.
Amen.
Remember that it's God who gives the increase. You're just playing your part, doing what you should do. And you should not be discouraged if you do not see immediate results. When you witness, when you share your faith, when you give someone a tract, don't be discouraged if you don't see immediate results. See, some will sow, some will plant the seeds, and then someone else may come along and water. And then someone else may come along and reap that harvest for the Lord. So when you take those tracts this week, you may be sowing a brand new seed, you may be watering a seed. That has happened to me many times where I hand someone a tract and I said, you know, somebody just last week was talking to me about God. See, you're watering. And God gives the increase and that person can be saved. How many are glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. Back to the parable. So the sower went out to sow. The sower is casting out seed. The Word of God. The results have to do with the receiving of the Word. Some of it fell by the wayside. Some of it fell among thorns. But it's the receiving. What was the receiving end of it like? What was the soil like? Verse 4, and it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. The seed that fell by the wayside had very little to no chance. It was on the hard-packed ground that had not been plowed. Even though it was near the prepared soil, right next to it. You know, you could till your garden and you've got nice soft dirt here, and you know, right where the edge is, you've got hard packed ground that the seed are not going to take. It was right there beside it, but it was not prepared. It was hard. There are people that come from godly homes and families that have hearts hardened toward God. And many of you have that in your family. You know, someone grew up in the church or grew up in a godly family, and yet their heart is hardened toward the things of the Lord. They're right there in the midst of those who are fruitful for God, and yet His Word has not penetrated them. Again, many of us have unsaved loved ones who are like that. It seems impossible that that seed could ever take root. But I want to tell you, I was the one that had the hard heart. It probably looked like there's no way the gospel's ever going to reach that fool, but it did. So take heart. Do not be discouraged. Keep praying. Keep sowing. Keep watering. Amen? There is hope. Listen to Ezekiel, talking about a hard heart. Listen to Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That happen to anyone? Praise God.
Amen.
I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God can do it. Amen?
Hallelujah.
While it may seem impossible, with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
A few weeks before my dad died, we were kind of separated. My dad was a mean guy. I'll just tell you right out. And we were kind of estranged because he was very abusive. And a few weeks before he died, I had the opportunity to see him. And I was newly saved, so I wanted to tell him about Jesus. Don't preach at me, boy. That was the response. It was discouraging. Don't preach at me, boy. I said, well, Dad, that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, I don't want to hear about it. That was hard. And after he died, I was doing some tilling. Speaking of gardening, we used to live up on old Catoctin Road up there, up in the mountain. And how many have mountain ground and know how fun that is to till? It's good for growing rocks, apparently. So I had this tiller, and I'm trying to till this rocky ground, and the thing's just shaking and, you know, beating the ground. And I had the day off because my dad had just died, and, you know, I was thinking about it a lot, and, you know, and I was upset thinking I hadn't said enough when I tried to tell my daddy about Jesus. And the Lord spoke to me that day when I was out there running the tiller. And He said, just like you need power to break up this rocky ground, your dad needed my power to break up his rocky ground. And that scripture came to mind that He would take out that heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. Now my dad had a habit that he would get up very early in the morning. At times in his life he would read the Bible, so he knew what the Word said, but he was away from God. My dad called me one day and said that he had gone to the doctor and needed a quadruple bypass. And they asked, he was a contractor, and he asked if I could come down and help him finish this job off so he could get it done before his surgery. I said, I'll be right there, Dad. I'll be there Saturday. This was maybe on a Tuesday or Wednesday. The next day or the day after, I got the call that my dad had died. Now, I find comfort that I think that my dad got up that early morning because he knew he was in some serious trouble. He knew he had a heart problem. And how can you not think about eternity, right? And I believe that my dad sat there that morning before he died. He died in that chair in the morning. And I believe he made things right with the Lord. I had peace about it because the Lord spoke to me that peace, that the thing about breaking up that hard ground. So sometimes the seed falls on the wayside and it's hard and the seed seems like it cannot penetrate it. But with God, all things are possible. And I want you to take heart in that. How many have unsaved loved ones? Keep praying. Keep witnessing. Amen? There is hope. As I mentioned, the parable of the sower has to do with receiving the word. Listen to Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Now see, we play a part in that. Amen? You know, so my hope and my prayer is that that's what happened to my dad that morning, was he had a hard heart, but he decided to break it up. I may not have been able to break it up, but he could decide to break it up and seek the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're away from God, break up that hard ground. Seek the Lord. Now's the time. It says, till He comes and rains righteousness on you. And I want to tell you, that's a good thing. Amen? Praise God. Many of us need to break up the hardness of our hearts so that we can hear from the Lord. You don't have to necessarily be unsaved to have that hardness of heart to where you're not receiving God's Word. It's bouncing off like those seeds on the hard ground. You're not receiving it because you've got something between you and God. You know, before communion, you know, and this, including this morning, we always pray if there's anything between you and God. We're instructed by the Bible to make those things right. And if you're not receiving from the Lord, you're not hearing from God, you need to check yourself. You need to examine yourself and see what's going on there. And maybe you need to break up that fallow ground and seek Him so He can rain righteousness on you. So some of the seed fell by the wayside of the parts that are hard to reach with the plow. Like kind of like the corners maybe. You know, you get in there, it's hard to reach that. That's why it's not been plowed. It takes an extra effort. It takes a believer willing to do whatever the Lord asks, no matter how uncomfortable. So you may be working on someone that's at hard ground, and it's hard to reach. It's hard to get that tiller in there. It's hard to get that plow in there. It takes a little extra effort. Maybe you got to dig it by hand. Maybe you got to spend a little one-on-one time. Maybe you got to show some love. Amen? It takes a little bit of extra effort, and each and every one of us need to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do in reaching someone. Give me an amen. Amen. No matter what it takes, and no matter how uncomfortable it is. So I gave you those tracks. I gave you those seeds, and I want you to sow them this week. And for some of you, it's going to be hard. For some of you, it's going to be uncomfortable. Do it. Do it. Amen? Amen? Sometimes God gets us out of our comfort zone so that we depend on Him. But I won't know what to say. I'm no preacher. You don't need to be a preacher. And you don't need to know what to say. Let God do the work. Hallelujah? Amen. So the sower went out to sow. We need to have an attitude like Paul. Again, when you're trying to reach those hard corners, trying to reach the hard to reach people, that's a challenge. It's very much a challenge, and it's not comfortable, and you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. This is the attitude we need to have, an attitude like Paul. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. Let that sink in. That I may win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. In other words, you don't go and act like a heathen to reach the heathens. Okay? But you don't have to go to somebody who's unchurched and maybe angry at God and aggressive toward anybody, you know, and try and thump them on the head with your Bible. Okay? I become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Okay? So find something in common with someone. Spend a little time talking about fishing or motorcycles or sewing or couponing or whatever you're into that they're into. Find that common ground and then look for an opportunity to give them the gospel. Take the extra effort. Take the extra time. That again, he says, he becomes these things that I may win those who are without the law. To the weak I become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. So we need to get out there in the fields and sow some seeds. Amen? I can't hardly stand the enthusiasm here this morning. Calm down. Verses 5 and 6, we see that some of the seeds fall on stony ground. There's some soft dirt there, but underneath are rocks and stones. The soil is extra warm there because there's no depth to it. And it can warm up quickly. And the seed germinates quickly, but it cannot get deep roots because of the stones. And when the sun comes up, what happens? It is quickly scorched. So sometimes the Word of God falls that way. The seed starts to grow, but maybe there's no discipling to help someone to grow. We're called to make disciples of men, not just make baby Christians, to make disciples. When someone comes to the Lord, we need to guide them. We need to encourage them to read their Bible, to get into church and Bible classes so they can learn more and more and become rooted. Some of those seeds fell on that, and when the sun comes up, it's quickly scorched. In verse 7, we see that some of the seeds do not take root because they are sown among the thorns and were choked out and yielded no crop. That's why we weed our gardens, amen? We know that the weeds, the thistles, the thorns will choke out our plants so that they cannot bear fruit. It is important that we take care of our garden, in other words, our Christian life. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. Sin is overcome not so much by maintaining a direct opposition to it, but by cultivating opposite principles. Would you kill the weeds in your garden? Plant it with good seed. If the ground will be well occupied, there will be less need of the labor of the hoe. So sow good things into your Christian life. Do what you need to do. Read your Bible. Pray. Praise the Lord. Help others. Be a servant. Be a servant in the house of God. You fill your house and your life with those things, there's going to be less chance that the weeds of this world are going to grow in. And if you do that, then there's less need for the labor of the hoe. That's for those tough weeds, isn't it? I'm not really a gardener, but I know a little bit. That's for those tough weeds. That takes extra work, doesn't it? The more we fill our lives with the things of God, the less work we'll have to do in weeding out the things that are not. Verse 8, some seed bears fruit. It was sown on good ground, soft and fertile, prepared to receive and nurture the seed. It is interesting to note that the bearing of fruit was some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Let's put that in a little different terminology here, and let's call it a percent. Notice that though fruitful, some would only bear 30%. That means they were 70% unfruitful. Okay? 60% is 40% unfruitful. So see, while they're fruitful, there's a lot of unfruitfulness there. Okay? Only some of the plants were 100% fruitful. If I ask you to check your fruit production today, where are you? 30%? 60%? Maybe 70? Maybe 100? Maybe 10? How is your fruit production for the things of the Lord? Verse 9, at the end of the parable, Jesus stresses the importance of the parable. Okay? Matthew's account indicates that he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Very important. He is speaking of spiritual ears here. The willingness to hear, listen, and learn the things of the Spirit. How many have physical ears? Yeah, everybody has physical ears. But he's talking about spiritual ears here. He's talking about the willingness to hear, listen, and learn the things of the Spirit. Hebrews 5:11 says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Wow. Jesus wants all to hear and understand, but sadly, many do not. Do you have ears to hear? Do you just hear words, or do you hear the message? You see the difference? You can hear the words with your physical ears. It's quite another thing to hear the message. If we're not careful, as Paul stated in Hebrews, we're not careful, we can become dull of hearing so that we just hear words. Our minds can wander and we miss out on what God has for us. It takes that willingness. It takes that attention. Do we have ears to hear? Or do we just sit patiently waiting for 12 o'clock to come? Amen?
Amen.
Or do we just sit patiently and then it's going to be over? I hope that preacher doesn't go overtime.
Amen.
Now, Pastor was 10 or 15 minutes early the last 2 or 3 weeks, so I get that extra time. Shout, shout. All right, I got one amen. That's all I need. Hallelujah. Do we want as much of the Word as we can get?
Amen.
Or do we just want it to be over with? You know, I came on Sunday morning, I sat and listened, I'm out of here, lunchtime. Or are we really seeking God? Do we really want? What is His message for you and me today? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do we come seeking and listening with anticipation? Hearing with our heart as well as our head? You know, it's exciting when revival time comes around and you see things happen. You know why that is? Because people have an attitude of expectancy. I say we should have an attitude of expectancy every Sunday. Pardon. Is that right?
Yes.
And with ears tuned in. Lord, what do you have for me today? What's the message going to be today, Lord? What do you have? You know I seek the Lord. I know Pastor Lay seeks the Lord. And we have messages that we receive from the Lord for you. So if somebody has a message for you from the King, you want to listen, right?
Yes.
So we need to come with that attitude. Lord, what do you have for me today? You know, we should get up on Sunday morning not dragging our feet, but we should be excited to come to church on a Sunday morning. Lord, what do you got for me today? What part of your wonderful Word are you going to share with me today? It's great and it's wonderful, and that should be our attitude. You know, you hear people sometimes say, I'm just not being fed. Remember, a lot of that's on the receiving end. We have to hear as well as listen. We have to hear the message as well as just hearing the words. Praise God. Many times again, the problem is with the hearer. If we are willing to listen, to truly hear, God will reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom. Whoa, what sweet. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. What sweet communion that is when you're reading the Word and suddenly that light goes off. Oh, I get it. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful Word, because you're listening with your spiritual ears. We're not just fed in church. Anyone here only eat once a week? No one? I know a homeless guy that only eats once a day, but that's still not once a week. You know, we can't expect to be fed and to be vibrant in the Spirit of God and in our relationship with Christ if we come expecting to get all, you know, all, wanting all that we can get from God only from a Sunday morning. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We got to eat every day. Get in your Bible. I don't care if you can only sit for one verse. Read that one verse a day. Maybe you can do a chapter a day. Maybe you can do a whole book a day. Maybe you just read until you feel satisfied. Kind of like coming up to the table. You eat until you're satisfied. We need to eat of God's Word. We need to take that time, and we need to make the time. And a lot of us feel like, oh, I don't have time, but we watch TV. Okay, enough of that. You got the message there. Spend time in prayer, in praise, in worship, time alone, just you and God. Listen with spiritual ears, and you will hear Him. Praise God. I love little Hannah's testimony. You heard it a week or two ago. She says, Mommy, I was talking to God. How old is she? 7? Mommy, I was talking to God. 7-year-old. And God spoke to me. And He told me I was going to be all right, that it wasn't my time yet.
Amen.
That little girl heard from God. She, I love it. Mommy, I was talking to God. How cool is that? That's so awesome. The Lord laid it on my heart a week or so ago to share that with my friend. My friend's an atheist. One of my best friends. He just doesn't know. Nicest guy you ever want to meet, do anything for you, but he just doesn't believe in God. And God laid, and I've talked to him over the years. We ride together in his truck a lot, and you know, I've laid the word out to him and everything, and you know, the Lord laid it on my heart to share this with him, to sow a seed. And I said, Sal, I know you don't believe in God, but I want to tell you a story. Listen to what happened to this little girl from my church. And I told him the whole thing, how God spoke to her, and then how she went to the doctor then that same week and found out she had a healthy heart. I said, healthy heart, man. Not just a better, not just improved. She has a healthy heart. And God told her, I said, what 7-year-old speaks like that and says, it is not my time. Come on. You know what his reaction was? Wow, makes you think. Yes. I pray that he thinks on it and thinks on it and thinks on it and thinks on it until God reveals himself and he becomes a Christian. Amen? Pray for my buddy. Verses 10 through 12 says, but when he was alone, those around him, this is after he told the parable, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not perceive, and hearing they may not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. The outsider hears the words. They can quote John 3:16, but they don't get it. They have no idea what it means. I've witnessed to people on the street, and you're telling them about sin, how we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory, and how you know we're under the justice of God, and there's a due punishment for it. And you know, do you know what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell? And then many times they'll quote, oh yeah, you tell them about Jesus dying on the cross. Oh yeah, and they'll quote John 3:16, but they have no clue what it means. And that's our job, is to share with them so that they might hear with spiritual ears. You know, we mentioned in Sunday school this morning, the natural man, Louis, cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. These things are spiritually discerned. But God has given every man the measure of faith. So as we sow a seed, it has a chance to grow. And that thing can become awakened in them, and they can come to Jesus Christ, and it happened to everyone here that's saved. Someone sowed a seed in you, and it grew, and eventually God reaped the harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. But the outsider only hears words. They don't get it. Why don't they understand? Many don't understand, as this scripture bears it out, because they don't want to be converted. Hearing the gospel makes some people uncomfortable, even angry. I've experienced that. They'll turn to arguments or try to get you sidetracked because they don't want to know. You see, it's on the side of the soil. They don't want to know. I don't want to hear this. Why? Because they love their sin. And if I listen to this and I begin to believe in Jesus Christ and not evolution, suddenly I'm accountable for my sin. I don't want to hear it. They close their ears. They stop their ears. They don't want to hear it. And they become angry and frustrated sometimes. And they'll try to get you sidetracked. Why? Like it says, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. How many say having your sins forgiven is the greatest thing that ever happened to you? And yet people are fighting against that. Again, it's our job to let them know what the truth is. They're unwilling to be changed. They're unwilling to be converted. So they shut their minds, they twist the truth, and they rationalize their behavior. Everybody else does it. I've heard that a lot. I've seen it many times. There is much danger here, though, because the more a man hardens his heart, the harder they will become. Any sensitivity to the Spirit will fade till eventually there's nothing left. The more man rejects God, the more he becomes hardened in his heart toward God. But the more he receives, the more capacity he will have to receive. Verses 13 through 20, the rest of the parable. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown into their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Here Jesus explained the parable to his disciples. He gave them the heavenly meaning of it. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Again, the sower is doing what he should do. It is the responsibility of every believer to spread the gospel. Sowing, watering, and reaping. The emphasis is then given to what kind of ground or what kind of person receives the word. So you have your own garden. You have your own field to sow seed. There are people that you can reach that I'll never meet. That Pastor Leigh will never meet. That Alex, you'll never meet. There's people that are only in your circle, and it's up to you, and it's your responsibility. God has called everyone. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the Sunday school teacher or whatever. God has called every one of us who are saved to do this work. Notice that there are four types that hear the word, but they receive it in a different manner. Verse 15, the wayside ground, again, is the unplowed heart, the hardened life. The wayside heart is the one who hears the word. He has the opportunity. Someone is sowing a seed, but he's disinterested. He couldn't care less. Before he can respond, Satan comes and snatches the word away. Maybe he comes with an argument or doubts rise. And you know, before he can even consider it, he's got himself convinced that you're not telling him the truth or that the Bible's a myth or whatever. He never applies what he has heard. He is told that forgiveness and eternal life are available, but he rejects it. This is the seed thrown on the wayside. Verses 16 and 17, the stony ground is the rootless heart, the superficial life. This person hears the word and even becomes excited by it. He may accept Christ and profess it to others, but he has not counted the cost. He has not considered commitment, self-denial, sacrifice, obedience, and steadfastness. He does not study the word to become rooted. We need to do that. He does not run deep. He is only a believer on the surface. And when trials and temptation comes, he quickly falls away and blames God and becomes disappointed in Christianity. It wasn't what he expected it to be. Verses 18 and 19, the thorny ground, the worldly heart. This is the worldly heart, the strangled life. This person receives Christ and tries to live the life, but he is not 100% committed, and soon the lure of the things of the world become too much for him. The former life starts to appeal to him and creep back in. We need to keep our guard up, amen? These are the thorns of worldliness. He begins to compromise. Well, I could do a little of this, and I can do a little bit of that. And the next thing you know, you're back where you started from. You're backslidden. He straddles the fence. He's living the double life. One foot in the Lord, one foot in the world. The double-minded man that James speaks of is unstable in all of his ways. So you can't be in the world and in the Lord. You've got to make your choice and be 100% sold out to Jesus. Amen? He begins well and even bears some fruit, but the thorns of the world choke it out and he becomes unfruitful. Even if you have been a strong believer for a long time, you still need to be aware to beware of the thorns of worldliness. That world can creep back in, and soon we're compromising, and soon we're neglecting the things of God. Verse 20 talks about the fruitful ground, the honest and good heart, the fruitful life. This one hears and receives the word. He responds to the call of the Lord. He grows in his relationship with Christ. He seeks the Lord and bears fruit. As he continues in his Christian walk, he bears more fruit. He is committed and obedient. He tends his garden to be ever growing. He is wary of weeds and thorns and plucks them out as soon as they sprout. That's our Christian life. We need to tend that garden. We need to put fences up to keep the rabbits out. Amen? We got rabbits at our house and they like to eat all Lizzie's green beans. So we need to watch for those things. We need to watch for the weeds and the thorns that creep into our Christian life and pluck them out quickly before they take root, before they choke out your commitment, before they choke out your fruit. So what kind of soil are you? How do you receive the Word of God? Where are you at with Jesus? The sower went out to sow. I want to tell you this morning that the gospel message is simple. And you can share this with others. Maybe you need to hear it today. We have all sinned and we need a Savior. John 3:18 says, "He who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Because of our sin, we are condemned to an eternity in hell. That's not popular preaching, but that's the truth. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross in our place to pay the punishment for those very same sins that condemn us. If we will repent, that means if we will turn from our sins, turn from the old life, and ask the Lord to forgive us, He will. How many say that's good news?
Amen.
If we receive Him as our Savior, that condemnation will be gone and we can look forward to an eternity with Christ in heaven. That's the gospel message. Does anyone hear that message? Do you hear that message this morning? What will you do with it? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. What will you do with what you heard? Will you respond to it and get saved and repent? Maybe you're here and you're saved and you heard this message. You heard the gospel. What will you do with it? Will you share it with others? Will you keep it to yourself? What will you do with it? What kind of soil are you? What kind of ground will you be? It really does come down to you and your decision. You can allow Satan to devour this seed, or you can receive it. You can ignore it and forget about it, or you can respond to it. And many times people hear the gospel message, the message of salvation, and they don't respond to it, and they go away the same as they were. But you can hear it, you can respond to it, and allow God to make a real change in your life, where He will rain down righteousness on you. I'm talking saved or unsaved. If you're here this morning, you hear this word and you realize, man, I need to be saved. Or if you're here this morning and say, I need to sow and I need to go out to sow. What will you do with this message? What kind of soil will you be? The seed has been sown. It's your choice. What kind of soil will you be? Just have to ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. You know, we apply the Word by asking ourselves tough questions sometimes. Maybe you're here this morning and you've not been saved. Maybe you were saved at one time, but you know it was on shallow ground, rocky soil, and you know you sprouted up real quick, but suddenly it's just not there anymore. You don't have that deep relationship with Christ. Maybe you started out well, and sooner or later, maybe the thorns and weeds of the world have crept in, and you find that you're more worldly than godly. You're here this morning, you need to make things right with God. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times but never responded to it. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that you're right with God, I'm just going to ask you, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, just slip up your hand. I'm here this morning, I don't know if I'm all right. I don't know if I'm where I need to be with the Lord. Is there one? I see that hand, thank you, sir. Anyone else? I need to be right with the Lord. I need to be right with Jesus. If you're here this morning and you raised your hand, I want you to just pray this simple prayer. I want you to just stop and think, I've broken God's law, I've sinned, I can admit that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I know I'm worthy and deserving of hell. But I thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for my sin. Just pray a prayer something like this in your own word. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know I'm not where I need to be with you, whether I've prayed the sinner's prayer before or not. I need to be right with you, Lord. Whatever my sin is, Lord, and you know them, I repent of those sins right now, here and now, Lord. And I want you to be my Savior. And right now, Lord, I commit my life to you 100%. Make me the good soil, Lord. Make me the good soil that I can bear fruit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming into my heart and making things right for me today. In the name of Jesus, I pray with all my heart. Amen. You're here this morning and you prayed that prayer, prayed a prayer like that. God has just made all things new in your life. You've broken up that fallow ground, and now He can rain righteousness on you. And I'm so thankful that you heard the Word and that you applied it. God bless you. So believer, what about you? What kind of soil are you? Are you bearing fruit or do you have shallow roots? Have the thorns of worldliness begin to choke out your relationship with Christ? Are you rooted and grounded in Jesus? You know, we have to ask ourselves tough questions. Are you growing? If you're not, you just pray to the Lord. Make things right. Make a determination. Make a decision today that, Lord, I'm going to walk the way I should walk. I want to be stronger. How many could say in here this morning, raise your hand, I could be stronger? Amen. And we need to pray that and seek the Lord. Make that commitment. Make that commitment to fertilize that soil, to water that seed. The seed of the Word is in you. And we need to water it with the Word, with praise, with prayer, every day to the Lord, and really, truly have that relationship with Jesus. It will be sweet, I promise you that. If you're planted firmly in Jesus and serving Him this morning, praise the Lord. But if you are lacking any of these areas, today is the day to make a change. Amen?
Amen.
I guess you're free to go.